We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. All right, big issues, big guest. Speaker Newt Gingrich, I believe, is still in Italy. But he is still advising the president. He's got a new book out, Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Let's go to Speaker Newt Gingrich from Italy. Speaker Gingrich, welcome to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, listen, it's always great to talk with you. And as you know, as a Harrisburg-born Pennsylvanian, I have great fond memories of Philadelphia. So I'm thrilled anytime I can be on your show.
I saw you the other day, Newt. I saw something. Now, this was Wikipedia. I didn't go back and see it because I was looking some of the things you've written about civics, which I want to talk about in a moment, in addition to the current book. Was your first public moment trying to convince Harrisburg or that town near Harrisburg, where you're from, that they should have a zoo? Was that true?
Yeah. My first appearance in public was I was about 10 years old. And I went to the to an African double feature on an August afternoon, came out, and by one of those weird moments, there was a sign next to the movie that pointed down the alleyway and said City Hall. And I was supposed to go get on a trolley car and go back to Hummelstown, where we were living. And I thought, you know, my grandmother always said, do your duty as a citizen. So I walked through the alley and went upstairs at City Hall and asked for the Parks Department, and told them we needed a zoo. And the funny,
you know, God.
I mean, if we have just a minute, I'll tell you that it gets better. So this nice old man was there. The big boss was gone for the day, and the civil servant was there, and he showed me that we used to have a zoo in Wildwood Park that was closed during World War II. Here's what it used to cost to feed lions, etc. And then he said, "Now, you need to come back Tuesday and tell the city council why we need a zoo." He then picked up the phone, called my grandmother, who he had dated 40 years earlier, and said, "I'm sending Nudie home in a cab, but he has to come back next Tuesday." So I came back next Tuesday, and I'm the last person that people just before me, I still remember, are complaining about garbage pickup. So I get up, and I do a five-minute pitch on why we need a zoo. Now, think to yourself, you're the Harrisburg Patriot News reporter. It's an August afternoon. Everything is boring. Who do you want to write about?
Sure.
The folks complaining about garbage or this cute little 10-year-old? So I get an article in the Harrisburg paper, and my dad was serving in Korea at the time. The Korean War was still underway. My mother gets this letter about 6 weeks later that says, "Keep him out of the papers."
Unbelievable.
And that never did quite work out. But isn't that a great story?
Well, it is a tremendous story, so there is truth to it. And you just used the key word here I wanted to talk with you about. We don't do enough with kids in school. You were a precocious 10-year-old. I could know that, and you were trained. The word citizen. President Bush used to use that a lot. I'd like to hear that word. It gets into this whole notion. You do so many things, Newt. You don't remember this probably. It's the time you were running for president. You were at the Hilton. It was CPAC being held there in Washington. I got you, and we walked you. My colleague had Richard Dreyfuss talking about civics in front of the whole room and media there. It was one of the most fascinating exchanges I've ever seen. He's still about that initiative, and so are you in your own way, and you've written about this a lot.
Yeah, I really, first of all, of course, I love Richard Dreyfuss as a actor. I think he's a remarkable actor. And so for me, it was a great thrill to be able to be with him and talk about this. And I really appreciated his commitment to trying to reestablish the sense of citizenship, which we need so badly in the country today. You know, we have lots of people who are angry. We have lots of people who are demonstrating. We have a lot of people who are trashing things. But we don't have enough people willing to say, let's put the country first. Let's sit down and talk with each other. And let us see if we can't find some positive way forward together. And that's what I thought Richard was all about. So I found it to be sort of a wonderful event.
Yep, exactly. Now, Speaker Newt Gingrich with us. You mentioned something there, too, about a good citizen. It seems the media only think that means protesting. It doesn't mean coming together around some specific policy. And you are second to none as far as a policy guy. And this is where the left caves in, because apparently at this point, in many ways, Newt, they don't want any policy coming out of this. They just want to continue to protest and keep this up throughout the election.
Well, I think if you listen carefully, they're pretty clear they want to replace America.
Right.
I mean, their goals are huge. In Seattle, they're now talking about abolishing the prison. They're talking about abolishing the police force. These are people who live in a fantasy world. And then they're shocked that when you weaken the police, this has happened in Philadelphia, when you have a local district attorney who won't prosecute criminals, and you have a whole attitude towards the police that makes them the target rather than the helper, you suddenly have a lot more violence. So, you know, we had one weekend where in New York and Chicago alone, 152 Americans were shot. I mean, the fact that the news media will not focus on this, they won't talk about it, they won't be honest about it, is just part of what is making America weaker and more dangerous.
Well, one of the ways, and I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you've been in contact with the president or his advisors. Again, we know you routinely would speak with him, even though you're in Italy. It's Trump versus the virus, at least perceptually. If America perceives he's doing the right things here and we're seeing some degree of success, Joe Biden, I think, has no shot on the other issues. He doesn't know what they are. His positions, he can't say anything given his base. But the COVID-19 and the accomplices in the media are drowning everything else out with that.
Yeah, and a lot of it's just plain a lie. For example, Steve Krakauer, who writes a great website called Fourth Watch, said yesterday, you know, the media is hyping up the number of new cases. But he said, fact is, the number of new cases is irrelevant. What matters is whether or not you get really sick and whether or not you die. And as of right now, you are six times more likely to die in New York and New Jersey than you are in Florida. Yet the news media wants you to think that the pro-Trump governor of Florida is really a bad guy, and the governor of New York, who's arguably the worst governor in the country in terms of COVID, and whose policy decisions killed between 6,000 and 8,000 senior citizens, somehow Cuomo gets a pass because, you know, he's of the true faith. Well, I think the average American is eventually going to sort all this out. And I think it's going to become obvious. You now have the head of the Center for Disease Control saying that children should go back to school. And then, of course, you have the teachers union and the bureaucrats saying, oh, we can't do that. And my view is, if a school system will not open up, you ought to defund them and give the money to the parents and let them find schools. In Virginia, for example, the Catholic schools have announced they're going to be open and they're going to take students and have them in the classroom, period.
That's what's happening here with the Archdiocese in Philadelphia. Now, your new book, Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. We don't get to that, though, if we get a second term to do that, if we don't get past this. What's your advice? Do you like how he has been publicly showing maybe a slightly different approach to COVID?
Yeah, look, I think there are three pieces to this. One, he ought to just admit this was a lot harder than we thought it would be.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with saying that the American people would be glad the president was honest that, in fact, this has all turned out to be harder. Two, he has begun to take the right steps. I think talking about the mask, talking about doing the right things, I think that's very important. And then three, they need to continue to have very short, very fact-oriented briefings, because there's a lot of good stuff happening. There are vaccines being tested. There are new tests coming online. They're going to be faster, quicker, more accessible. There's a lot of stuff they're working on that's going to be very good for America. And I think that that's, you know, as people come to grips with all that, my guess is that he will, sometime in the next 30 days, actually begin to move towards a positive side on how he's dealing with the virus. And particularly if the choice is the teachers union trying to blackmail you so they don't have to go back to school, and the president and all of the scientists and doctors saying, you know, your child really ought to be in school, I think he ultimately wins that.
I do, too. Now, Joe Biden, we don't know when Speaker Gingrich, but soon, is going to announce his VP choice. And you know better, things that are false, fake news, signals he's sending out. But it does seem to me, Politico probably has it right. My view, Kamala Harris, is he is very wary of what she would be like. And she would not be a vice president that follow direction as vice presidents are supposed to do. What are your thoughts?
Like everything we know about her entire career, including the things that former Speaker of the House and former Mayor Willie Brown has written publicly about her, because she was apparently his girlfriend while it was useful to her, and then she wasn't his girlfriend when it wasn't useful, made him pretty pissed off. If I were a Joe Biden and I was his age and I was as weak as he seems to be, this is like a Shakespearean story. She is not the person I'd want to have next in line. Because I think she's very ambitious.
Who do you like, then, politically? Who's good for Trump in there as a VP? Elizabeth Warren is my choice.
I think any of them. I mean, look, I think that it has to be a woman. It probably has to be a black woman. And whoever they pick will turn out to have some strengths and a lot of weaknesses. You very seldom gain with a vice presidential pick. And in Biden's case, it's compounded because people are going to, more than any candidate in my lifetime, people are going to really worry about who the vice president is, because they're going to have this worry that they're going to actually, that person could become president.
Have you ever been considered as a VP? I couldn't see Newt Gingrich as a VP. It's not. You're
no.
an executive.
No,
you're,
no, Trump,
you're in charge.
Trump played with it. Trump played with it in 16, and we met, and I told him he had to pick Pence. And my view was that I'm a pirate and he's a pirate. You can't have a two pirate.
Exactly.
He needed a normal person. Needed a normal person that regular human beings could identify with.
Oh, my goodness. Speaker, thank you very much. The current book, Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Where do we find all things Newt Gingrich? Because you always have 20 things going on at once.
We do free podcasts several times a week, some of which are very cool. Including a whole new series called Shut Your Mouth about the left's totalitarian activities. So we do podcasts. We do three newsletters that are free every week. And, of course, we write books and stuff. So you can get all of that if you go to Gingrich 360.
Newt Gingrich, thank you so much. And thanks for sharing that story of being a 10-year-old.
Thanks. Take care. Thank you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.